treatment at little or no cost. Call MD Topical toll-free now, 877-875-5909. It just takes a couple of minutes to qualify for these amazing treatments that have helped thousands of people with severe pain. Your personalized pain treatment will be delivered directly to your door. Call MD Topical toll-free, 877-875-5909, or go to mdtopical.com and get started on your road to a pain-free life. Call MD Topical toll-free, 877-875-5909, or go to mdtopical.com.
The CDC is predicting a spike in flu cases before the month ends. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports from Washington.
Latest data from the Centers for Disease Control shows high numbers of influenza cases in New York City, as well as 19 states. The CDC describing flu activity as widespread, with the highest hospitalization rates among young children. The hardest hit states are mainly in the South and along the Gulf Coast. Doctors say it's still not too late to get a flu shot, though. The flu season can last well into spring. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
With the partial government shutdown continuing, about 800,000 federal employees are not getting paid today. Republican Senator Shelley Capito says this isn't good that folks aren't getting paid.
We have prison guards in my area. We have federal prison guards I'm very concerned about. Obviously, a lot of people live in paycheck to paycheck. That is going to, I think, put additional pressure on everybody.
And at midnight tonight, this will become the longest shutdown in American history. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
The first four states to legalize marijuana for recreational use were Colorado and Washington in 2014 and Alaska and Oregon in 2015. Just because it's legal, though, doesn't mean your employer approves of it. I had a chance to sit down and chat with Alex Berenson. He's author of the book Tell Your Children, The Truth About Marijuana, Mental Illness, and Violence. And one of the things I asked him is some of the issues that employers are having regarding marijuana.
So no surprise, a lot of employers don't want to deal with their employees using marijuana. And so this has actually been a very contentious issue around employment law, but it's clear that this is, you know, this has just set up a whole bunch of court fights where people say, well, I need it medically. And the employer says, you know, we don't want you using this. And they, you know, and there are sort of long drawn out battles about whether it's okay or not.
Berenson continues about the main message in his book.
The focus of my book is really on marijuana's link to severe mental illness, especially psychosis, and the link to violence that psychosis produces. And so, the reason the book is called Tell Your Children is I want parents to be able to know that this stuff is so much stronger than it was when they used it. It really is. The patterns of use have changed. And when you use potent cannabis or pure THC in your adolescence, that's a bad thing for your brain.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
and I'm Pat Gregory, handyman extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
A little peek at local weather for the week here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com for Flemington area. A little cold out there right now, about 28 degrees. Sunny today, high in the mid-30s, dropping down to the 20s tonight. Sunny on Tuesday and looks like Wednesday also. Highs will be in the upper 30s, low down in the 20s. Thursday more of the same, high in the mid-30s during the day. Chance of snow showers Thursday night after 8 p.m., at least around, I guess, well, get it close anyway. Snow showers Friday, about 50% chance. Probably the mix around here. Temperatures are going to be, again, in the upper 30s during the day, low in the 20s at night. Chance of snow on Saturday, high near 37. Snow and sleet likely on Saturday night and then into Sunday. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org.
Hey, welcome everybody. Welcome to Chef Bill's Table. Coming to you live on Mondays here at the Chamber in our offices in beautiful downtown Flemington. So, the cool weather is here. Cold weather, I guess. Winter, although we're not seeing much snow here yet. I was up in central New York, even Syracuse area. I guess they had some and it went. Probably some more there by now, but for a city that gets a lot of snow, maybe it's going to be a late one. Who knows? So we're thinking of cold weather food, right? Since we're all enjoying the nice winter weather out there, and cooking, especially a little more time in the stove. First, you know, I like it. It makes the house smell good, and also the stove's on. You know, a little extra warmth. Everybody seems to gravitate toward the kitchen anyway. We're starting, offering jambalaya this last week at the restaurant. I made a batch of beef and Guinness last night, braised beef and Guinness, one of our pub favorites. Probably something we could offer almost year-round, although in the summertime people tend to stay away from that sort of heavier food. Well, but that's a good thing about restaurants, right? We can always do it. If you don't feel like firing up a stove at home, you can always go to your favorite place. Finding braises like that, I know we think of them as comfort or home cooking, but sometimes when we're going out, it seems many operations out there, they don't have that capability or that time. Everything is fast, 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 saute, grill, broil, fry, quick, quick. We still spend the time to offer the nice braises. I think, whether it's... And stew, you think, well, it's stew. That's something I can make at home. But actually a well-made braise, whether you're making it yourself or enjoying it in your favorite restaurant, it's a nice thing. All the flavors... Nice thing about a braise is you save all the nutrients that you're getting from the protein. I mean, you can even do a ratatouille is actually a nice vegetable braise. If that's, I do that in the summertime, even though it's a braise, it's a slow cooking, but with vegetables, you can transform those into a nice combination where everything contributes. And I think in the case, say, beef and Guinness, very simple, not too many ingredients in this one. It's basically beef, onions. I put some carrots in there and some nice Guinness is the liquid and a little seasoning. And then you can add to that as a base, maybe some, you know, potatoes or noodles, something like that. But something, it just, it does take a little time. Pressure cookers, the new ones now, can pick up your cooking time. But I like that gentle braise. And we don't mean boiling away, blasting it. You can braise on the stovetop. You can braise in the oven, a low oven if you like. The difference between a braise and a stew is basically the amount of liquid, and the stew often implies some other enhancements in their other vegetables, where a braise might be, it could be pieces of the meat or poultry or even fish, or it could be a whole roast. But braising the liquid is a little bit less, only about halfway up the food, so it's kind of partly in the liquid and partly out of the liquid, especially if you're doing a skin on chicken. It helps the skin stays a little crisper. We often cover the braise, at least partially. The classic way would be with parchment paper, buttered parchment paper, and placed in the low oven. You could use a lid. I like, if I'm doing a braise, I don't like to cover it fully. I don't, that'll build up pressure and steam. What part of the thing with a stew or braise is you need to reduce the liquid a little bit to concentrate the flavors. Otherwise, you end up with too much water in there. So covered is okay, but not all the way. Maybe, you know, 3/4, just to trap some of the moisture, but allow some steam to escape. Get that proper reduction. So I think today what I'd like to do is, of course, cooking with recipes, you got to assemble ingredients, and can I change it, what can I do? What we're going to try to do today is give you an idea of kind of a formula with procedures and amounts so you could make your braises or your stews for any amount of people. And after all, a lot of what we do in the kitchen, obviously techniques are important. And once you master a certain technique, you can adapt that same technique right across the spectrum of products. So whether you like beef, if I was using pork for a braise, I would use the pork shoulder, or otherwise known as the pork butt, or even boneless, the rib end for barbecue country ribs. Sometimes they're even boneless. That's, you want meat that has a fair amount of connective tissue and some fat in there. You have to have some flavor. Chicken thighs versus using chicken parts with the bone on. Obviously, the ones with the bone going to put a little more flavor in there. But the handiest thing, if you don't have a lot of time, the boneless chicken thighs would be great. The dark meat holds up much better in a braise than the white meat. If I was using lamb, it would be from the shoulder. Lamb normally is pretty expensive, but the shoulder or the cubes are an economical cut. And same with veal. If you happen to like veal, I know it isn't really big in the retail, but the veal cubes, again, if you're getting chops, you're going to spend a lot of money, but shoulder cubes from veal, very good to use, good taste, and, of course, nice and lean. Get some good benefits there. So, say these are the cuts that I'd like to use for a braise, because you need that that slow, gentle cooking breaks it down, but you end up with a lot more flavor. And instead of buying the pre-cut cubes, of course, for the beef, I did some the Terrace Major, which is a nice tender part of the chuck. I like to cut it into uniform pieces. So we're going to break for a couple of messages here, and when we come back, I'll line up the steps for doing your braise. even based on a single portion. Chef Bill's Table.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
All right, we're back at Chef Bill's Table here, and we're talking about a braise. So as I said, a braise and a stew, what's the difference? Basically, similar procedures, but the amount of liquid that is going in. And also with a stew, you may add some other vegetables and garnishes in there. I remember at the Lake Plastic Club when we had items like that, we had to cut the vegetables. Of course, they have to be uniform cut, so they cook evenly, but we had to steam them separately to make sure that we didn't have any undercooked ones in there or overcooked, or, you know, sometimes when you're stirring, things get kind of beat up. The presentation, of course, was important. So, but we would make the sauce with a lot of vegetables, of course, then strain it, and then we'd add new ones for garnish. The nice thing about cooking everything together is, you get the flavors, but you also capture all the nutrients. If you're doing something separately, boiling or steaming, you're washing away some water-soluble vitamins. If you're leaving everything in the one pot, you're saving it all. So that's another, besides the great flavor and aroma, you're getting everything you paid for, right? So braising, so it's a slow cooking, and there's a couple of ways to do it. Basically, there's recipes that call for browning the protein, and there's other ones that we call maybe a white stock or blonde would be just simmering. A blanc cut of veal, Irish lamb stew, chicken fricassee, think of dishes like that. Instead of browning in oil, we would bring our water or our broth to a simmer and add the protein right to the hot broth. So it's not sealing in juices per se, but browning, of course, gives the appearance and the flavor that you want, that caramelization. And instead of starting with cold water, if you start with the hot water, hot broth, it has less of the flavor leaking out into the liquid. When you're making a stock, it's different. You start with cold water because you want to draw everything out of the bones and any meat scraps you have in there. Whereas when you're making a braise, a white braise, we're not going to want that. We want some of the flavor to stay in the meat. So thinking about portions, how much do I buy? You know, the recipe calls for four people. I've got five. Or I've got, you know, recipe calls for six to eight. I always like that hyphen in there. That's a big difference. I guess it depends if you're feeding youngsters or if you're having other courses with the food. So what we like to figure is when you're starting, 8 to 10 ounces per portion of raw product. Because in a braise, you are cooking it well, you are going to have some shrinkage. Just like with a roast, so you lose some water. If you start off with half pound of product, you're not going to end up with half a pound of usable meat left. The rest of that liquid is going to go, of course, into your sauce. You're still going to consume it, but it's going to be in a different form. So we like to start with 8 to 10 ounces of raw product. And for every portion, about 5 ounces of some kind of liquid. And the liquid could be what you're deglazing the pan with. Could be wine, could be beer, could be stock. If you're browning your product well, you could use water. Don't use hot water out of the tank. Use cold water. And just ran, you know, if you want to use canned broths, so what I like to do oftentimes, say I made the beef and Guinness last night, so I got a good browning on the meat. So the meat flavor was there, but instead of salt, that's when I'll add your beef base or chicken base. Chicken base would probably work with anything. And those are quite a bit of salt in those, and I will use those instead of salt for flavor. Just get a little extra bonus chip there. And you could even use bouillon at that point, which is almost all salt, but at least you're putting some other flavor back in there. So eight to 10 ounces of raw product, 5 ounces of liquid. You need about, for each portion, about 1 ounce or so of aromatics, we call them, or mirepoix, or could even be tomatoes. Tomato paste always helps with brown sauces. It makes them a little bit more rich. But you want this to flavor your sauce. These aren't the vegetables that you're going to be really serving with the braise or as part of the stew, but rather it's going to help enhance the flavor of your cooking liquid. And, of course, you need some salt or your chicken or beef base. Whatever seasonings or herbs, obviously pepper will go in there, but depending on the dish, could be bay leaf, could be thyme, parsley, could be sage, could be garam masala. The nice thing about braising is it cuts across all cuisines, too. You could kind of flavor it with things you're familiar with or things that you like. In classical cooking, of course, we use the sachet, a little cheesecloth, where we would put bay leaf, whole peppercorns, sprigs of thyme, sprigs of parsley, maybe even celery leaves. They would be tied up in cheesecloth, so they're able to infuse the flavor into the liquid. But then at the end, you just fish out the sachet, and you don't have to worry about straining. You don't have bits and pieces of things floating around in there. You don't want to run into bay leaf or peppercorns. Not probably the best thing to be chomping on. If you're using ground seasonings, of course, you don't have to worry about that straining. And another step later on, sometimes if I'm pureeing the aromatics and everything, then straining it, then I'm not worried about the thyme branches and peppercorns, things like that. Bay leaf is tough. Little pieces of bay leaf aren't always the best for your intestines, so we try to fish those out. Then, of course, your garnish, which would be things that you're going to finish with. In the case of a stew, you might have potatoes, carrots, some turnips, maybe parsnips, some peas at the end, some green beans, whatever things you're going to enhance the braise with. So your protein, 8 to 10 ounces, 5 ounces of liquid, approximate. You can always add a little bit. Nice, if you have too much liquid to start, then of course you've got to cook it longer. You might overcook it. Checking the doneness, of course. You don't really use a thermometer. I use either a fork, a cook's fork. If it's a larger pieces, you can kind of twist in there. Say if it's a braised roast, you can see if the fork twists easily. Or a spoon. If I can cut it with a spoon or the side of a fork, then I know it's tender. Timing, when you put the vegetables in, depending on the product, something like beef, it takes a little longer. You may want to wait about an hour before you add your vegetables. Figure your vegetables are going to take 15 to 20 minutes to cook, most of them. So you kind of work backwards from there. Now, thickening, several ways to do it. You could use the roux. Sometimes when we're browning the product, we add the flour in early on. Then, of course, you have to watch your simmering. You don't want to burn the sauce. You could use a slurry or a wash, white wash, we call it, either with flour or cornstarch. Any other kind of starch, potato starch works with mixed with oil. It's almost like a roux. If you have to be gluten-free or just want to, we use potato starch sometimes just because it adds to the potato flavor. But some kind of thickener, or what I've done is you will take the protein out of the sauce and then puree it either in a blender or a food processor or with an immersion blender. And if you want it even more refined, you can then strain it, get any kind of solids out of there. My favorite, I call it short rib sauce, and I make this for anything. It's when you make these braises, of course, if you like the way the sauce tastes, sometimes you can just make the sauce without the meat and just have the sauce, right? So these are the things you need to remember about proportions when we're doing our braise. And I say with the different proteins you can use, the if you're just doing like beef and Guinness without a lot of vegetable garnish, then I would go heavier, that more toward the 10-ounce portion. Otherwise, a half pound is good. And then with your vegetables, you probably want, a ratio of about, in a stew, you would probably want your ending product to be at least 50% of the stew should be meat or proteins. And you can vary that. It's, I guess if you were trying to stretch it, you could add more vegetables, but you want to have at least half the volume be in the protein. You could make it, even more if you'd like. But this way that, you get a good portion and good variety of flavors and colors and textures in there. We're going to break for news for a second, and then we're going to come back and go through the steps. It looks like about 7 basic steps here. And then give you an idea of some cooking times for different products. And then some ideas for finishing Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News.
If at some point they just can't do it, this is a 15-minute meeting. If they can't do it, I will declare a national emergency.
The president there speaking at a roundtable discussion that was hosted at the White House. The president also discusses a bill that would back pay federal workers who missed paychecks on Friday due to the shutdown.
A bill was just passed, which I will sign in Congress, making sure that everybody's going to be paid immediately upon when this is over.
The suspect in the kidnapping of a Wisconsin teenager and murder of her parents is due to make his initial court appearance on Monday. Barron County Sheriff Chris Fitzgerald comments on the pending charges against Jake Patterson.
The suspect will make his initial appearance in Barron County Circuit Court to be formally charged with two counts of first-degree intentional homicide and one count of kidnapping.
This is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule.
I went to have my blood test done a few weeks ago, and I met the doctor, and he was really encouraged by my progress, and I showed him what I was taking. And he started looking at all the ingredients, and he said, I'm really impressed with the shiitake mushroom. And he said, this stuff, it could clean out your arteries. And I'm like, oh, wow. He said, you may be onto something here. And he said, you just keep that up, and maybe you can start cutting back on your medication. And he says, you're helping your health by doing that. And I'm like, whoa, endorsement by the doctor.
When you call, use discount code USA. And we'll take 35% off your first month's order and ship it to you free. Call 800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
It's a soup, salad, and sandwich restaurant over at the Shops in Flemington, the Flemington Mall on Rayville Avenue. They're going to have open mic. Sounds like something a little unusual for a restaurant to do. Normally, those are in bars, but look, it's ages 16 and over for performers and for the audience. It's an initial weekly Saturday night showcase for local area comics and musicians. So, I don't know, maybe going out, of course, soup and sandwich, salad. You know, sounds nice and simple. I know they've have varieties of soups that are made on premises. Really, well, if you think of it, the start of restaurants were restoratives. They were just serving very concentrated broths to help people that had, digestive problems, things like that. But the initial restaurants were based on soup. So Zoop, going to have open mics, and check it out. It's on the 19th, and it's from 8 to 10 p.m. at the Shops in Flemington. So we're back at the table, so we're going to make our own zoo, right? Our own praise. So we have our amounts together. So the first step, you're preparing the item for braising. You have to season it. Now, preparation, if you're buying something already cubed up, you know, that's relatively easy. Just make sure that there's no excess tendons or fats on it. If you buy pre-cut stew beef, you want to make sure that everything's uniform size. It's going to cook evenly. If you're using a solid piece, obviously you've got to fabricate it. If you're using the boneless chicken thighs, you might want to cut them into some large cubes, although you could leave them whole. Either one, chicken cooks fairly quickly anyway. And you're going to season, so definitely some salt and pepper up front. If you're doing something that requires a little more spice, this is the time to do it. Now, we like to brown it. A lot of times you'll see a dredging with flour. And my rule of thumb, usually for beef and lamb, I don't really do that. Sometimes I'll do it for the white meats, the veal. I call them the white meats, the lighter color, the veal or the pork or the chicken. Dredge in a little flour so you get that nice brown flavor and appearance. I know for the beef and Guinness, I do not dredge it. I just simply brown the meat. And when you're doing this, of course, you got to do it in batches because you don't. If you put too much in the pan at once, you'll end up just boiling it. You need a good, also for your mise en place, you need a good heavy pot or what we call a rondo, something oven-proof, preferably, so you can, you don't have to stand there on the stove and regulate the heat. You can finish this in the oven. And, of course, you want a blender or a strainer, but a good heavy bottom pot, not too high on the sides, not a big stock pot. You want the lower sides on it, but something good, heavy metal, because you want that good recovery time when you're browning the food. You want that slow, gentle heat for cooking, but for browning, you want to keep things fairly hot. Cast iron is okay, but if you're using anything acidic, you get a little bit leaching. I mean, iron's good for you, but not too much. The acid might affect that finish, but you could have even an aluminum pot or, as I say, the heavier the better. So we're going to heat the pan and the oil, and we're going to sear the product. Best to do it, as I said, and if you have a lot, do it in batches, in between batches, let the oil come back up to temperature. This is where, when you flour, of course, you got to watch that you don't burn the flour. If you don't flour, then nothing to worry about. You're going to get a nice fond in the bottom of the pot, too, which is nice. When you deglaze, that's all flavor. Have a plate on the side where you can put the brown product after you've done your few batches. So that's the step two. Now, step three is, of course, you add your aromatics. And when you're starting something like this, obviously, most any recipe, we like to have our what we call our mise en place, our ingredients, all ready to go. I would say in this case, with the braise, at least have your aromatics and seasonings and things ready to go. If it's going to take another hour and change to cook, you could probably have enough time to prep your other vegetables that you're going to add in. So this is where you don't need to do everything up front. So step three, you add your aromatics. So you have your pan with your oil. You've seared the protein, taken it out, and now you're going to lower the heat. And you don't want to burn these vegetables. You want to just soften them. Sometimes this is where I'll add a little bit of salt also to get the moisture, the flavor out of the vegetables. But you're going to cook those till they're fairly soft. And now at this point, if you are using flour with the fat that's left in there, this is where you might sprinkle a little flour in to start building your sauce. If you're not going to do that till later, then this is an optional step, adding the flour. Now you're going to add liquid, and as I say, if you're using wine, beer, a combination, using broth, using water, you'll add your liquid to the pan and bring it to a simmer. And now you're going to add the protein back in. Now we don't want this to boil hard. Once the bubbles are just breaking the surface, you want this to be a gentle cooking. And especially in the case of using wine or beer, the alcohol will boil off at a lower temperature. That was the whole idea of this, is to keep that cooking temperature down right, you know, just about at the boiling point, not a rolling boil, not like pasta. So now you've got your product back in there, and when the time is right, you will add your additional ingredients. Now this is when you're going to put your seasoning in there, your sachet. If you're putting some tomatoes or tomato product in there, now would be the time to do it. And again, hold back on the salt now at this point, depending on what you've used for a liquid. You can always add salt at the end. Once, if you have too much in there, then you have to dilute everything, and that's not that good. If you're just doing a braised protein, of course, for the beef, it's going to be, a good hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours, depending on the size of your cubes. If you're doing veal, it would be an hour and about an hour and a half, 30 to 45 minutes plus the hour. The same with lamb, because they're a little bit more tender. Pork, about 1 1/4 hour, and chicken, 35 to 45 minutes. This would be even to practice this first, if you didn't want to take a long time, do practice with some chicken thighs and get your procedure down. So once the meat is tender, and again, spoon tender or fork tender, we've got to finish the sauce. Now, if you're adding vegetables in a stew, different story. You're going to add your vegetables about 15 to 20 minutes before the end of the cooking time. And especially if you're adding potatoes, you probably don't need a lot of thickener. The starch coming off the potatoes will kind of thicken it for you. You can always whisk in a little, as I said, flour or cornstarch slurry at the end. If you're doing just a meat braise, finishing the sauce, you would take the meat out of the sauce, and at this point you can strain it, strain out the aromatics and the seasonings. You can puree it, or you can add your thickener. And then, of course, this time you correct your seasoning, your salt and then pepper, any other dominant herb that you wanted there. If I was, if my liquid was tomatoes, if I was making a chaussure or a cacciatore, same idea. You're going to brown the product. You're going to add your aromatics, add your liquid. In this case would be tomatoes and a little broth. Let it cook, and then you're going to finish. And if you want to finish with some fresh herbs, that's fine. As I say, this method lends itself very well to different cuisines. Once you know this procedure and get your steps down, you'll be like a pro. And then you don't have to be tied to just one set recipe. You can kind of, when you're shopping, you can say, the pork cubes look very good. And then you go through your vegetable aisle and go, maybe there's some squash, there's some celery root vegetables, or you may want to take it, even if you are doing this in warm weather, you could take it in a whole other direction. But remember, bite-sized pieces, especially for stew. Again, doing a braise, you can do larger pieces. Usually, that 8 to 10 ounces, so, 10 portions, a minimum of 4 pounds of meat, and at least 2 pounds or so of vegetables, and 1.5 quarts of stock. That's like a rule of thumb for a larger batch, 10 portions. Now, when you have your braise, whether it's your stew or your meat braise, a lot of people say, if you make it the day before and let it sit, it's even better. And that's true. But somehow, I don't know, if I was doing all that work, I would like to enjoy it just then. But if you want to make something for during the week, say you're home on weekends or your day off and you're cooking, it's not a bad idea, if you're messing around in the kitchen anyway, to put something like this together and have it for reheating later. Or say you make a big batch, say, I'm doing the work, I might as well make a double batch, and then, serve some of it that evening, and then have the rest. You could make a nice dish we call poutine with French fries as the base. Who doesn't like French fries, right? Or you could bake some wedges, if you want something a little bit different, an oven-fried potato. But some of that braise on top of the French fries typically would be, beef. There's many variations of it out there. Some people, even use chili. But that, and then, of course, you add your cheese, so you've got a little bit more of the protein and dairy there. Something that can almost make a nice light supper out of that. Poutine, very, very hearty, and if you had, as I say, a little bit of leftover braise, good use for it. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll be back at the table and see how we can serve these up. Chef Bill's Table.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Table here. So that's the outline for the braise, your proportions, your procedures, and now we can do anything, right? You think of all the classic dishes that are made this way. Of course, your beef bourguignon would be beef with Burgundy Pinot Noir, and when you're cooking with red wine, do you want something, actually, the Pinot Noir is a little bit lighter bodied. We use Merlot quite a bit, a softer blending grape. There are some Italian beef and Barolo, but Barolo is expensive and, you know, good for a long cooking item, getting some of those tannins out of there. The Pinot Noir is the way to go for your coq au vin. That's chicken and red wine, and then your beef bourguignon. The beef and Guinness, obviously, I used the Guinness, and I didn't end up having to put that much other liquid in. I used quite a bit of the Guinness, and of course, at the end, you've got, you know, some of the, it's kind of a, you know, sweet, bitter flavor. You need a little bit of salt in there. I do use a little tomato paste to help enrich it, makes that nice, rich color and flavor with the sauce. Tomato paste also helps thicken, too. Again, if you want one of those thickeners that's not a starch, tomato paste is great for that. And I do actually add a little bit of brown sugar at the end of a beef and Guinness, just to go by taste, just because of the bitterness from the ale. Although the Belgian is the Carbonade Flamand, you could use a different beer and end up, we put a little bit of mustard in for the, again, mustard's kind of a thickener also. It's kind of a mustard flour, although it's a little spicy, but mustard also helps with thickening. Sometimes you just need that little bit. Plus, it adds flavor. So that would be the Flemish or the Belgian version of that. Then we think of a goulash, and some people, you know, goulash sometimes it's, you know, the ground beef macaroni thing, but really the Hungarian goulash made with, we used to make it with beef at the Lake Placid Club. We make it with veal. Veal's very nice with that. You could do pork, you know, chicken, paprika, but there you're taking, again, you're browning your product and then your onions, but the paprika is the main flavor. And, of course, a little cream or sour cream at the end. And then, you know, the dishes that are tomato sauce-based, your cacciatore or hotter sauce. We do a hotter sauce at Jake's that we make, and it's the same procedure. We start with some bacon. You know, that's we're not making it a bacon sauce per se, but for flavor, we brown some bacon bits, and then we put our aromatics in there, onion and a little bit of garlic. It's mainly with onion, and cook them till they're soft. You know, the bacon is fairly cooked. Then, of course, you've got the fat coming off the bacon. So we add flour to that, make the roux, let that cook out a little bit. And then we add our red wine and our tomato paste and our beef broth. All thickens up. And our garnish at the end, of course, is mushrooms. Now, instead of sautéing the mushrooms along with the onions, we actually put the mushrooms in sliced just the way they are, just as if you were adding potatoes to a stew. And so they're going to simmer in that sauce. What's happening is all the water, well, the mushrooms are about 90% water, the water is going to cook out and go into the sauce. So in essence, this hotter sauce is basically, you know, the same procedures that I'm telling you for a braise or a stew. And we use it on as accompaniment to our Jaeger schnitzel. We do the poutine with that. That's our gravy for the gravy fries, I guess if you want to call them that. And with ours, we have the, actually, people often will add some grilled steak tips. And then we have that nice hotter sauce. We use a cheddar jack, although traditionally it would be cheese curds, and then a few hot pickled peppers on top. So we really get everything going on there. That's why I say if you have some left, a poutine is a nice way to, you know, use some leftover braise. Now, another innovation, if you like the way these sauces take and taste, and I've done this before also. So say you've got a classic one like an ossobuco, veal shank, you know, a lot of money. A lot of time, very, very delicious dish. Hard to duplicate that sauce. But say you had some veal chops or even some scallopini. I've done it. Say you want something quick cooked, but you want that richness of that long cooking braise or that sauce. You can achieve this, these same steps, if you've got meat, you've got some trimmings, a little scraps if you want to use. You make your sauce with that, with your aromatics. And in this case, you know, then I would strain the sauce. And you could add some other garnish in there if you do want some mushrooms or pearl onions in the case of a coq au vin. Things like that could always be added at the end. But make that long cooked sauce, or even if you're doing a braise, you know, make a little extra sauce. What's it to hurt? But I've done it, you know, you want a nice red wine sauce, but you don't have time to cook the chicken. So I'm going to get a chicken and one of the rotisserie chickens from the supermarket. But I want a nice sauce to go with that. So this is where if you could make something like that, Hunter sauce or a nice red wine. I know a couple of shows ago we went through the procedures for basic brown sauce, Madeira, and sauces will freeze pretty well. The flour, sometimes you get you have to kind of re-whisk things together. Or if you just make the base and freeze that and then thicken it as you need it, that's another option. I've found with using the purees that when you just puree the sauce, you don't have to worry about the starch breaking down in the freezing process. So you have many ways to go here. And as I say, once you get the technique down and your proportions, you can really be creative and even try some new combinations. And don't forget for your base afterward to serve with your braised or stew, you know, obviously mashed potatoes, but pasta, polenta, gnocchi, rice. There's so many things out there you could use. Vegetable purees, root vegetable purees, sweet potatoes. All these things you could do while your braise is cooking. And have a nice, hearty, tasty meal. Make your braise on the weekend. Have it for during the week. But it does take a little time. They say a pressure cooker, you could cook a little bit quicker, but I think that that slow gentle is the best way. And even if you're making chili for your tailgate, instead of ground beef, use some finely diced meat cubes in there. Mix up the meats a little bit and do it the same way. Even with the ground beef, I find people don't cook chili long enough. Even though it's ground meat and it's tender, you really want it to get soft like a bolognese. Those are hours of cooking, even though it's ground meat. It is a different texture. We'll be back next week. We've got to get ready for game day coming up, right? That's another big food holiday, Chef Bill's Table.
Is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
If at some point they just can't do it, this is a 15-minute meeting. If they can't do it, I will declare a national emergency.
The president there speaking at a roundtable discussion that was hosted at the White House. The president also discusses a bill that would back pay federal workers who missed paychecks on Friday due to the shutdown.
A bill was just passed, which I will sign in Congress, making sure that everybody's going to be paid immediately upon when this is over.
The suspect in the kidnapping of a Wisconsin teenager and murder of her parents is due to make his initial court appearance on Monday. Barron County Sheriff Chris Fitzgerald comments on the pending charges against Jake Patterson.
The suspect will make his initial appearance in Barron County Circuit Court to be formally charged with two counts of first-degree intentional homicide and one count of kidnapping.
This is USA Radio News.
This is a national health alert from the Healthcare Hotline. Are you on Medicare and or have private insurance and suffer from back pain? MD Topical has a solution for you. Today, you can qualify to receive a pain-relieving treatment, such as a comfortable back brace or a customized pain treatment at little or no cost. Call MD Topical toll-free now, 877-875-5909. It just takes a couple of minutes to qualify for these amazing treatments that have helped thousands of people with severe pain. Your personalized pain treatment will be delivered directly to your door. Call MD Topical toll-free, 877-875-5909, or go to mdtopical.com and get started on your road to a pain-free life. Call MD Topical toll-free, 877-875-5909, or go to mdtopical.com.
The CDC is predicting a spike in flu cases before the month ends. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports from Washington.
Latest data from the Centers for Disease Control shows high numbers of influenza cases in New York City, as well as 19 states. The CDC describing flu activity as widespread, with the highest hospitalization rates among young children. The hardest hit states are mainly in the South and along the Gulf Coast. Doctors say it's still not too late to get a flu shot, though.